Amen. Amen. We thank God for being together on this Christmas day. On this Christmas day, we don't know if Jesus was born on December 25th. We don't know that that's the exact date, but some say it is, some say it's not. That's the way it goes. But we do know that Jesus was born. Amen. And we know that he came, and we know that he is who he says the Bible says. Lord of Lords, and we have come today on this Sunday to worship him, to honor him, to spend and invest a few minutes together in praise of our great God, our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 We have been in Matthew chapter 1, and we want to say a few words from there today to finish up this series on Behold Your King. Behold your King. And today we say Jesus is with us to save us. Jesus is with us to save us. Matthew 1, 21b, the latter part of that, verse 20, 23. And we read that for our responsive reading, but I'll read it again as it is my custom. She will bear a son. And you remember the angel was talking to Joseph. He said, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph woke up from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife. Kept her as a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he did in fact call his name Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Behold your King. Jesus is with us to save us. My favorite, as many of you know, my favorite all time, top of the line quality Christmas movie is It's a Wonderful Life. It's a wonderful life. It's really a story of redemption. Story of redemption. The redemption of a man, of a family, of a town. George Bailey did not know it, but he had a wonderful life. Even though he was short on money, even though he hadn't realized his dreams of travel and adventure, and even though in his mind he was stuck in the little obscure town of Bedford Falls, God's hand was on the life of George Bailey and so many others. But he couldn't see it until he was visited by an angel from God who showed him the lives of people that he knew and loved and had touched and what their lives would have been like without him in the midst. And I say today that it's a wonderful life for us because of Jesus.
Yes.
It's a wonderful life. What would our lives be? And this is on the side. Just think about it. What would our lives be, those of us who know Jesus, if Jesus was not in our lives? I wonder if he makes a difference in our, as we really think about it. I reflected on this, that what would my life be without Jesus coming and saving me and being who he is, the God who is with us and saves us. And that's what we want to talk about, and that's what we want to remember, and that's what we want to experience. We want to experience the life-saving power of the Savior Messiah King. The life-saving power of the Savior Messiah King. Amen? Amen. Two main points that we'll flesh out a little bit. And the story has been told already, hasn't it? The songs have been sung. Appreciate the singing, amen, to the children in their dancing. The story has been told, the Christmas story. We see it, we read it, we're so familiar with it. But we want to remember this because we can forget. I think the world has forgotten, but we, as those who know Christ, dare not forget that the divine genealogy of Jesus reveals that he came to save us from our sins. He came to save us from our sins. As we have read through the first chapter of Matthew, there was no detail that was incidental about Joseph's story and the divine genealogy of Jesus. Everything was important. Everything was important in bringing about the bringing of the Messiah into the world. The plot, the subplot, they're all important. The little things that we read over and skip over and don't think about, all of them are important because God is sovereign. God takes all of those things. He took all of those things in Joseph's life and he used them to use Joseph and Mary to bring the Messiah in the world. The timing of Mary and Joseph's betrothal, Joseph thought things had gone awry. But the Lord said, no, they haven't. This is all a part of what I'm doing. It's all a part of my plan, the timing of Mary's pregnancy. And here, in our text for today, the naming, even the naming of Mary's baby, Jesus. The angel told Joseph to call Mary's baby Jesus. Joseph, there's a job for you to do. You're going to be the stepdaddy of Jesus. And you're going to be the one who will name him. You are to call him the name Jesus. Why? Because his name communicates his purpose for coming into the world. Unlike some of the names that we give kids today that don't mean anything. People are very creative in naming people, but the names don't necessarily mean anything. Well, that wasn't the case back in the first century. Many cases. The name of Jesus was given intentionally. He was named for the purpose of him coming into this world. His primary purpose for coming into the world is to save people from their sins. The angel told Joseph, he said, name him Jesus because he is going to save people from their sins. The name of Jesus, of course, as we know, it means saved. It's the same name as Joshua in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New Testament. The name for Savior. The Lord saves. Jesus was named for what he came to accomplish on behalf of you and me and really the entire world. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus came to give the great gift of salvation. He did, the deliverance from our sins. Now, I know this. I know talking about sin doesn't fit into our nice manger scene, does it? Or our sentimental feelings about the baby Jesus being born in the manger. But talk about sin, we must. We must at Christmas time, because the Bible says that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Matthew made that clear. Joseph named him Jesus because he is going to save his people from their sins. And salvation is the awesome gift of life that the Father unwrapped through Jesus on the cross. We can't think of Jesus only as a baby born in a manger. True that, baby he was, but he grew to manhood so that he could die on the cross for our sins. And a lesson we need to keep etched in our minds is that we must not separate the cross from the crib. When we celebrate Jesus during the Christmas season, we must not. Let's not do that. Those of us who say hallelujah to Jesus, those of us who praise the Lord, let's not separate the cross from the crib. We have to bring people to that Jesus came in the crib so that he could grow up and go to the cross. We celebrate Christmas because he came to die on the cross for our sins. The cross is why he came. I wonder, too, in this short devotional message, I wonder if Joseph rejoiced when the angel gave him the assignment of naming Mary's baby Jesus. We know he was relieved when he found out how Mary became pregnant. We know he was probably rejoicing then, but I think here, Joseph's rejoicing probably went to another level. You know how it can be, you know, rejoice at one level when God does something, and you go to a whole new level of rejoicing and praising the Lord. I wonder if when the angel told Joseph that, and his rejoicing went to a whole new level. Joseph, you must name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sin. Maybe Joseph was excited when he heard this news, because the Redeemer had come. We should rejoice too. We must rejoice, and we must give a hearty praise and thanks to our Heavenly Father because we've been given the gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And through him, the gift of forgiveness for our many sins. That's the great gift of Christmas. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God. For what? For his indescribable gift. But what does that mean? That means, you know, it's hard. It's hard for me to stand up and teach the word sometimes. You know why? Because some things, they're hard to unwrap in my mind. And I know without the Holy Spirit that I couldn't unwrap them because they're so magnificent. They're so wonderful. And when you talk about Jesus coming to deliver us from our sins, the things that hold us bound, the things that press us down, the things that discourage us, it's hard to describe that Jesus came to deliver us from that, but he did. And that's something that we can be rejoicing about this Christmas. Jesus came to save his people from sin. Because, and he did that because it is sin that separates us from God. It's sin that separates us from God. He didn't come to make us good people. No, he came to deliver us. The Bible says there's no one good. There's only one good, and that's God himself. He came to deliver us from our sin because sin separates us from God. And our separation from God because of our sin is the reason that bad things happen in the world. We look at the world, we look at all this going on, we shake our heads and cluck our tongues, and we wonder, why is all this going on? Sin. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities, your sin has made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you. Sin is a great separator, creating a great gulf between people and God. But thanks be to God that Jesus came to save us from our sins, to bridge that gap. Many of us will give gifts to people this Christmas, right? Why? Well, we do that for various reasons. But one important reason is because of the relationship we have with the person, right? Yeah, we want to express love or appreciation, and nothing's wrong with that in and of itself. We like expressing love, and we like being appreciated. We want to fulfill a need because we care about the person, so we give them a gift. Having a good relationship with people is a great gift. We give out of relationship. And our life lesson is this, that Jesus coming to save through his death on the cross is about restoring the relationship between God and man. It is about restoring the relationship. Only Jesus could do that. Only Jesus could restore. Christmas is about relationship. And Jesus coming to restore the relationship that was broken by sin. Began in the garden with the first man, and it has continued across the centuries of time. The gift of reconciliation with God is a great gift, and it is at the core of the coming of Jesus into the world. Jesus came to reconcile the world to the Father. You know, people can function in the world without a personal relationship with God. Look around them. In a sense, they can. But they can't be fulfilled. They can't find personal peace. They can't find real contentment and true purpose of life that comes only from a personal relationship with the true and living God through faith in Jesus Christ. God created us for himself, and when you don't have him, guess what? It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter the possessions that a person has. They're not fulfilled. Because there's that yearning in the heart of mankind for God. God has given us the greatest gift in Jesus, because by becoming the God-man and sacrificing himself on the cross, he gave every person the opportunity to have abundant life through their relationship with him. Jesus came to save his people from their sins, but Jesus didn't come to deliver us from the myriad of problems that arise in the world. Last time I looked around, we still have a lot of mess going on in the world. Deliverance from sin is the focus of salvation. It's personal. It's personal. It's about you and me, my messed upness, and your messed upness, and what God can do about that messed upness. That's what Jesus came for. Sin, to save us from our sin. Deliverance from sin, personally, is the focus of his salvation. Sin here is that which separated people from God. It is that which prevents people from having that personal, close-up relationship with God. It is sin that produces a messed-up life. And a messed-up life, because of sin, produces messed-up relationships. Anybody got a messed-up relationship? Messed-up relationships produces messed-up families. And messed-up families produces a messed-up The Bible tells us that Jesus came to get to the root cause, if I can use that phrase, the root cause of why the world is so messed up. He came, the angel said, and told Joseph, name him Jesus, because he's coming to save people from their sins. As my grandma Brown used to tell me, it ain't the world, it's the people in the world. Jesus came to save people. He came to redeem people from their sins, to deliver people out of the mess that we put ourselves in, so that we are no longer slaves to a messed up life. You know, it's a great gift from Jesus himself that we don't have to continue to have a messed up life. This truth is the core reason for celebration at Christmas time. Jesus saves. He's a deliverer. He's the Redeemer. How do I know? You think I'm just somebody that's up here just saying this because I just got to be said? No. I've experienced it. I know. The Bible tells me, yes, but I know that Jesus is the deliverer from our sin. See, people in the world need deliverance. And Jesus wants to give them the gift of salvation so that they can be delivered and reconciled with him. Jesus coming is about relationships. Like getting stuff from God, it's about getting saved from God. And Jesus restores our relationship with God. He is able to restore our relationship with each other too, if we want to. Because of Jesus, our life blessed here, because of Jesus, our sin debt has been paid. And you know you had a sin debt. And I know you all know this. I'm bringing it back up again to remind us. Because of Jesus, our sin debt has been paid. Hallelujah. Sin refers to our thinking and acting contrary to the will of the Word of God. Sin is wrongdoing. It's wrong thinking. It's wrong attitude. It's wrong relating as the Bible defines it. Not as the world defines it. Not as you define it or I define it. But it's as the Bible defines it. The Bible tells us that we are in debt to God because of sin. And the only thing that can pay the debt is death. And the only one who was worthy of that death is the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's why we praise Jesus at Christmas time. And that's why we praise him throughout the year for the follower of Christ. Christmas happens every day. We remember his coming, or at least we should, every day. We remember that he came and grew up and died on the cross every day. He paid the debt for us. We don't have to worry because the debt that we owe was paid. We don't have to worry about interest accruing on an unpaid sin debt. We know about interest on a debt, don't we? I was reading something, I'm going to use it as notice. You know, people, we go out and we put gifts on our credit cards and whatnot, and then a year later, still ain't paid for it. That interest accrues. I mean, billions of dollars are spent, but thanks be to God that we don't have billions of sins that we have to pay for. Jesus paid it all. There's an abundance of wrong thinking in the world about Christmas, about life, and about God. But we shouldn't be surprised at that, right? We shouldn't be surprised because the world has pushed God out of the center of life. God has been removed as a standard. The Bible, to many, has become just another religious book, and Jesus is just one of the many ways to God. But when you remove the Bible, and you remove the true and living God, and there's only one true and living God, you remove the true and living God of the Bible, then the true meaning of Christmas is removed as well. The angel told Joseph, name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's what Christmas is about. The angel was clear. Jesus came to save. That's what the Bible tells us. And he came to save people from their sins. The other main point I wanted to leave with us today is this, that the divine genealogy of Jesus reveals the divinity of Jesus, right? It reveals the divinity of Jesus, him being God. When you talk about divine, you're talking about God. Matthew wrote in verse 23, behold, the angel shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel translated means God is with us. You know, God adopted Joseph to be the stepfather of Jesus. He went after Joseph. God pursued Joseph. He gave Joseph a great gift. And he filled Joseph's life with value and eternal purpose. And God has done the same thing with us. Amen. He's adopted those who put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. To be adopted by God is a great gift. And parents who adopt children go looking for that child. They want that child. They want to establish a loving relationship with that child. And because of the coming of Jesus into the world, Father God has given us the opportunity to be adopted by him as sons and daughters so that we can be with him and he can be with us. The Bible again tells us that sin separated us from Father, but Jesus, and as Matthew records here, Emmanuel, being translated means God with us, Emmanuel brought us close. He brought us close. Matthew there is quoting Isaiah in the calling of his name, Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. Virgin will be with child, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. His name Emmanuel shows the personal and caring nature of God for his people. God the Son took possession of a human body. That's up close and personal. Took possession of a human body so that we could see through him, through Jesus, that God is near to his people. He came for us up close. He didn't do it just sitting up in the courts of heaven. No, Jesus came and took on a human body. He came close so that we can draw close to him. See, we must keep in mind that Jesus came to address the problem of sin that keeps us from being close to God in the way he did it. Of course, he took on the frail humanity, just like you, just like me. His name, Emmanuel. He is Emmanuel. But he is Jesus the Savior. Joseph, you name him Jesus. Matthew goes on to say, you're going to call his name Emmanuel. On the man, Emmanuel. He's Emmanuel indeed. But he is the Savior who on the cross gave his life so that we could experience his presence. You know, the Bible tells us that God not only loves people, but he came here in Emmanuel to live with them and draw them close to himself. Matthew again notes that his name is Emmanuel, Savior, the one with us. You know, together with Jesus the Savior and Emmanuel, we have a proclamation. God is with us to save us. God is with us to save us. God is with you to save you. Friends can't save you out of some of the situations that we find ourselves in. We can't even help ourselves out of some of the situations that we find ourselves in. But Emmanuel is with us to save us, to help us. The genealogy of Jesus given by Matthew makes clear his humanity. But it also makes clear his deity, that Jesus is the God-man. He's the God-man. That's what we're celebrating. We're not just celebrating a baby who was lying in a manger. No, we're celebrating God lying in a manger. Yes, we are. He was God in the manger. He was God when he was a teenager. He was God when he was a young man who died on the cross. He, God, with us. God with us. God being with us should be taken literally. I hope we'll do that this Christmas. And we'll see that as a reality and not just something that we read about in the Word, that God is really with us. God is in our space. Anybody ever get in your space? You know, we don't like people getting too close sometimes. We want to keep that distance. But no, not God. God said, I'm coming to invade humanity's space. I'm coming to draw close. I'm coming to draw near. Jesus, God the Son, occupied the human body as the greatest demonstration and proof of God being with us. You know, we may see God as a distant deity, someone out there or up there in heaven. Matthew said that they will call Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel reveals that God came close. to be with us. And our blessing is Emmanuel is Jesus. He's the God that we can know. And the God who is with us at all times in the world. No matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're experiencing in life, if you know Christ as Lord and Savior, God is with us. And he is holy and above us. Indeed, he is high and lifted up.
Yes,
indeed.
He is.
But he is also close. He is also close to us. Experiencing the nearness of God in Christ is a great gift to be cherished, especially as we see Scripture lived out through the lives of people who have grown cold and harsh and bitter in relating to people. I was reminded in Matthew 24:12, it said, because of the, and Jesus was talking, and he said, because of the multiplication of the wickedness, because lawlessness will increase. Is it not increasing? Calling good evil and evil good, people confused and mixed up, talking about gender identity and all the different movements that are going on. A lot of confusion. Why is that? Because the multiplication of wickedness in the world, and people have gotten away from the truth of who Jesus is and what he came to do. Jesus said, the love of many will grow cold. But he says, the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. Jesus, Emmanuel, gives us the gift of close relationships. And while I say, while wickedness will increase, and it will continue until Jesus comes back, while wickedness will increase, we can pray. You know, I say this on the side, but we can pray. We can ask the Lord to help to slow the wickedness down. But you know how he slows it down? What did Jesus come to do? He came to save people from their sin. So when people get changed, they messed up lives, they get saved, and they stop doing all the wickedness. Wickedness will increase. And the love of people will become more free. But the love of God for his people will never lose its fire. You know, the coming of Jesus is the fulfillment of the magnificent promise. Faithful love of God for people. We sung about that this morning, right? Through the coming of Jesus, God fulfilled his purpose to send the one who would conquer sin and death and redeem all those who put their trust in faith in his redemptive love. So saving his people is ultimately about the love of God. To prove his love, he came and he gave himself as our kinsman redeemer, purchasing our lives by giving his own life in death. In order for people to be redeemed, that something had to be given up. A sacrifice had to be made. Well, Jesus is that sacrifice. And unlike our love, which can grow cold and indifferent towards people, the love of God remained red hot over the many centuries of time until Jesus came. The love of God never grew cold, and it never grows cold. And as the human genealogy of Jesus demonstrates, because of Jesus, God loves us as we go through our sin and in spite of our sin. Jesus came from a lineage of people who were known liars, known adulterers, known to be sexually immoral, murderers. But his love never grew cold. It never grows cold for us, though we too fit very well into that list of sinners in the lineage of Jesus, our Savior. You know, some of us might be struggling in life. You may have major problems, broken relationships. Death came knocking on your door this year. Failing health may be holding you down. Heartaches that have weighed you down. But Jesus, Emmanuel, he came and he carries those burdens. He came to lift us and help us and walk with us through those things. People can't help us, as I've said already. People cannot bear those burdens for us. But Jesus helps us. And I say this too, that people cannot bear the burdens of life alone. Sin has created too heavy a load. It's too heavy a load. One of the great gifts of God is to have someone whom God uses to walk with us through our tedious journey from earth to heaven and lead us to Jesus. See, when we help carry people's burdens, it's not just them dumping them on us and us being a great help to them. We can be the greatest help by taking them to the Savior, introducing them to Jesus. Who do you have? And who does God want us to walk with through their current circumstances to get them to Emmanuel? Husband, a wife, parents, children, grandkids, friends, enemies, people in the family of God, somebody. God may want you to get them to Jesus, Savior, Emmanuel. You know, we must take some time out to remember this Christmas that Jesus came to save people from their sin and be with us. That's all I wanted to say. We have to take time out to remember that Jesus came to save people from their sin and to be with us. Christmas just ain't Christmas without the presence and love of God through Jesus. It just ain't Christmas without Jesus. I remember when I was in the school, we had Christmas musicals and whatnot, and they're so generic. Susie Snowflake, Frosty the Snowman, without Christ in the middle of whatever Christmas celebration that we have, Christmas just ain't Christmas without Jesus Christ. He never promised to remove all the problems in life, but he promised to save us, to be with us, to walk with us through it. He promised to give us all that we need as we go through. You can make it through because Jesus is with you. You can walk through the deep valleys of despair with Emmanuel taking you by the hand and leading you. No matter what is going on in your life, child of God, remember they shall call his name Emmanuel. God is with you. He is up close, and he's behind the scenes arranging the circumstances just like he was doing with Joseph and Mary and directing the situations we find ourselves in to bring us to his desired end. People can't bear those things alone, but with Jesus, they can make it through. As you sit with your families, give Jesus the gift of praise. You know, we talk about we give each other gifts, right? Yeah, and again, I say nothing's wrong with that, but it's Jesus' birthday, right? Yeah. It's his birthday. Yeah. It's his birthday, our Lord's birthday. Yeah. What are we giving him? Let's give him our lives. Yeah. And let's say, Jesus, I'm yours. Yeah. Take me, Lord. Yeah. I say yes, Lord, to you. I say yes to your will. Lord, I've got some sin in my life. I got some stuff in me, Lord, that I can't take care of. Lord, this had a hold on me. But Lord, I give it to you. I give it to you. We think, and I hear this, and I know I'm finished, but we hear this. This is just the way I am. But what if it's not the way the Lord wants you to be? Jesus saves. He delivers us from those things that we can't deliver ourselves from. You know, many children will be ripping and unwrapping gifts from parents or whoever to see the gifts that they see. Right? Children get so excited, don't they? Older folk, too. Eyes get big. We grab them and we run them. But what we want to do is remind people, and remind the kids, remind the family that Christmas is about Jesus. It's about the Savior. And we should be excited about the magnificent gift of Jesus in our lives. Excited about the reason for which he entered the world. He came to save his people from their sin. And as we think about the fact that our sins are totally forgiven, think about that. What greater gift could you have than to be free from the punishment, the penalty, and the power of sin? One day we're going to be out of the presence of sin, because Jesus' coming was not just about this life. His coming is about the life to come as well. One day we got to leave this place. We do. One day we got to die. We got, unless he comes back first. But the great promise and the great contentment that we have is that we're going to be with him. And if you haven't submitted yourself to Jesus as Savior from your sin, he has a great gift for you, the forgiveness of all your sin. All your sin. Give Jesus the gift of submitting your life to him. If you have a messed up life, child of God, Jesus is still in the saving business. He can deliver you from that. If you have a messed up family, Jesus saves. He's able to help you there. Admit that you can't fix it, but you know that he can. Jesus saves. He's Emmanuel. And he's able. Don't give up on him, because he hasn't given up on you. Jesus saves. Won't you bow with me? Great God, our Father, we're so thankful today. We're grateful, Father, that you sent Jesus, our Savior. We're thankful for what this coming means. Lord, I pray that we would remember that we would not allow him and his purpose for coming to be overshadowed, Lord, by the worldly wrappings of Christmas. God, we're thankful for your great love for us. Thank you for restoring our relationship with you, Father, through Jesus Christ. We're grateful, Lord, that you don't give up on people. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for your faithful love. Help us to remember it. Help us to share it, Lord. And help us, Lord God, to live in it and by it. We're thankful, Lord. And if there might be someone who has never given their life to Christ, never received the gift of eternal life, Father, I pray that that one would admit that they are a sinner in need of the great Savior, and that they would receive Jesus. Make that decision to accept the offer of salvation. Receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. And Father, if there's one without a church family, I pray that they would give their life to you in service with the body of Christ. Lord, we love you today. And we thank you that you love us. In Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you are here today or listening in and you've never accepted your need for Jesus, then you can give your life to him and say, I accept the gift of Jesus Christ. He's the greatest gift, and what he did is a great gift to us, for us. He wants you to say yes to him. Give your life to him as Lord and Savior. You can say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm in need of a Savior. And I give my right to you. I submit, Lord, to you. If you're without a church family, you can make that commitment today. Say, Lord, I want to give my life in service to you. Connect with the local body of Christ. If you make a decision today, this Christmas, make a decision. Let me know. Send me an email at tbanks4323@gmail.com. tbanks4323@gmail.com. Jesus saves. Amen. Won't you stand? Won't you stand?
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And a happy Christmas here. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And a happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And a happy New Year.
Amen, amen. Now, to our great King, our great Savior, and our soon coming King, be glory, be majesty, dominion, and power, henceforth, now, and forevermore, let the Church of Jesus Christ together sing. Mm-hmm.